This is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. TIFF 22 has come to a close as the first full-scale version in 3 years since before the pandemic. It feels like ancient times by now. By full-scale, I mean many films showing in theaters with the filmmakers, actors, and movie stars from here and abroad present at the openings. And there were lots of moviegoers. Virtually every public screening I saw was packed. And again, not since 2019, the fans were also there in abundance. And there were a lot of really good movies this year, or I should say a lot of really enjoyable movies this year, plus a few clunkers, which is to be expected. So, to help me with a post-TIFF roundup and analysis, I'm very pleased to welcome back a longtime friend of the show, Jeff Harris. Jeff has covered TIFF for more than two decades in photos and features for publications like Maclean's, The Walrus, and right here on Cultural Mining and CIUT. Jeff is also known for his photographic art, including an ongoing series which has been featured in Time Magazine, The Globe and Mail, and other illustrious publications. You've probably heard him in the past talking about the Oscars, but this time he's back here to talk about TIFF. We're going to cover films we love, films we didn't love so much, indies, Oscar bait, and some films that may be great, but they aren't getting enough coverage, so we're going to tell you about some things that are sleepers. Plus, the celebrity factor, changes at this year's festival, and the whole TIFF experience, and whatever else might come up. So, hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Daniel. Great to be here.
So, how did you find TIFF this year?
TIFF was amazing. It was full on. It almost made me feel like COVID's not a thing anymore, just because the crowds were bigger than ever. People weren't wearing masks. I was in lots of, 2,000 seat theaters and, came out of it okay. So, it's kind of nice to have a normal thing once again in Toronto.
And was there anything about TIFF that struck you as different this year in the festival as a whole?
TIFF definitely loves to embrace their celebrities, and they were here in full force.
When the festival was digital, there were no crowds, there were no fans, and the celebrities weren't there to be swarmed with fans wanting selfies, autographs, or just photos, or just a glimpse of the stars. This year, can you tell me about some of the celebrities that you managed to catch?
Well, this year, you wouldn't be mistaken to think it was like South by Southwest with a number of high-profile musicians. Taylor Swift came, and so did Harry Styles. And each of them had a rabid fan base that was actually camping out overnight to see them. I talked to a few people at the front of either lines. They lined up the midnight prior to a 7 o'clock screening, and some of them were hoping to get standby tickets. Others were hoping to get into this. It's called the fan zone, and they let like the first 200 people in line into a sort of a pen,
a fenced in area,
and the stars will come, and they will only deal with those people. So if you can get in the pen, you'll actually get a little interaction with the stars. But to do that, you got to line up. And some of these people were lined up for almost 24 hours.
And you mentioned Taylor Swift. Was she actually in a movie?
So Taylor, this is actually a controversial element. Taylor directed a music video for herself. Last November. And all of a sudden, she was a featured guest at TIFF. It was called In Conversation. You could go hear her talk about this for, an hour and a half. TIFF really loves exclusives. And here they're promoting something that has already been on the internet for like 11 months. I actually went and it still was a lovely, it's a great piece of cinema. It stars Sadie Sink, who is the star of Stranger Things. And so the two of them were present, and it did make for a lively discussion, But if you're a TIFF purist, this definitely was not something that you'd expect to see.
And did Hillary Clinton and Oprah Winfrey make any movies? Yeah, actually. I really don't know why they were there. I mean, I realize they're huge celebrities and people want to hear them speak, but what did it have to do with...
So those were more logical. Hillary and Chelsea are part of a... They have a TV show, and TIFF lately has got a new program for television episodes. And often what they'll do is they'll show the first two episodes, like, at TIFF in the theater, and then maybe a month later those will become part of the TV and released on TV. So this year, Hillary Clinton and Chelsea are part of a TV show called Gutsy Women. And so they came for that.
Is that a talk show or a documentary
show? No, it's a documentary show about people they think are gutsy. So people like Megan Thee Stallion. I don't know the full roster of people, but current newsmakers that are female.
And is Oprah in the same series? Or
no. So Oprah was here with a documentary about Sydney Poitier.
Got it. Actually, it's called Sydney, and I think, or Love Sydney. And Sydney, I think. A lot of people enjoy that one, so far as I know. I didn't see that one. Another big celebrity is Harry Styles. He was actually acting this time. He's actually acting. I saw, what's it called, My Policeman? Mm-hmm. It got huge crowds screaming outside, but I wasn't very impressed by that. I thought it was okay, but nothing much. What is your opinion of that film?
I actually think he's a great actor. I thought he was fantastic in Dunkirk.
And I'm not faulting his acting. Just the film itself, I didn't think was that eventful.
Well, he's literally probably the number one talked about actor right now because he has two major films. The other film is directed by Olivia Wilde.
Did it play at TIFF? The Olivia Wilde one?
No, but like. It's a crazy story, too, because it's called Don't Worry, Darling.
Oh, yeah. In fact, it just got released this week, and
it's been getting...
it got critically panned, but the crowd seemed to love it.
Well, Don't Worry, Darling was... a trailer was released about a year ago, or maybe 8 months ago, and it was pegged to be the hottest movie for this year. Everyone was behind it, and then a series of almost comedic scandals have happened since, and now it's being universally panned. So it's kind of sad to see how a tide can turn so fast on a film, but anyway. The good news is that TIFF had probably the better of the two films that Harry Styles is in, called My Policeman, which is about, I guess, a 1950s police officer who's gay at a time when it was illegal to be gay in England, and so the struggles he faces as a law enforcer.
It wasn't my favorite film, but it wasn't bad. And his acting was quite good. I like the flashbacks a lot better than the present day ones.
Right.
One thing I found very interesting at TIFF this year, in the past, the press was mainly relegated to press industry P&I screenings, which is just for us. There's no introductions. There's no clapping. The industry, especially, these are people who are buying and selling films, would come in, sit down 10 minutes, check it off their list, and leave. And the movie would just play right through, and then everyone would take notes and go on to the next film. This year, for the first time, they gave quite a few public screening tickets to the press, which meant for the first time, for me at least, I was seeing the movies with all the stars on the stage and the audiences there in huge theaters like Princess of Wales, the Royal Alex, and the First Cinema at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. And for some of these movies, like Steven Spielberg's The Fablemans, The Whale, I'm trying to think what else.
Sarah Polley's movie, Women Talking.
Yeah, Glass Onion, Rian Johnson's Glass Onion.
The opening film, The Swimmers.
Yep. And The Inspection, directed by Elegance Bratton. Brother, directed by Clement Virgo. And Bones of Crows, directed by Marie Clements. For all of these, in huge theaters, I've never seen such a exuberant audience of standing ovation, clapping fans, or just people who really like the movies. And I think part of it might be because, I mean, these are all good movies. All the ones I saw were quite good movies, or generally speaking. But the celebrities, the directors, the actors of the movie were lined up on the stage, and this was the world premiere. So the first time anyone had seen them. And while there were clapping and questions and Q&As at the end, generally they would appear on the stage, the programmer would be there introducing them, people would clap for about 30 seconds, occasionally stand up, and that would be that. Now, for some reason, people are jumping to their feet with these screams and yells. And so I want to know, what do you think is the difference this year? Why did this happen?
So I agree with you. That's the first time I've ever seen that. And the Cannes Film Festival has been known for these legendary, like, 14-minute applauses. And it starts to feel like Toronto wants to get in on that action. And it could be a...
But this seems sort of spontaneous with the audience.
I know, but I think it's almost part of the social media culture we're in now, or the desire to just make headlines. So yeah, I think for whatever reason, people now in Toronto are starting to clap for 5 to 8 to 10 minutes. And it's...
Yeah, I saw The Fablemans, the Spielberg movie, and Glass Onion... Especially, they had very, very long standing ovations, like longer than I've ever seen at TIFF. And those are both good, entertaining movies. I won't say they're the best movies I played at TIFF, but I have never seen such a crowd clapping.
And
so
I think
much.
When you've got the stars on stage, it's almost like you want to impress the star or something with your
or
response.
Thank them. Yeah, maybe they just want to thank them. Right. I mean, if you've been going to live theater in Toronto, it's a phenomenon the last 10, 15 years. Every show, no matter how awful, seems to get a standing ovation. It's almost obligatory. I sometimes find myself sitting in the audience, the only one still sitting, because everyone jumps to their feet with a stand. And that's because it's a live performance, but for a movie, too. What are your feelings of some of these standing ovation movies at TIFF this year? Are there any that stand out to you?
Well, for me, the highlight of TIFF was Triangle of Sadness, which already played... in Cannes, but it's so topical, and it's a comedy from start to finish. It's like a roller coaster. You're just laughing and shocked at the same time for the entire duration of the film.
I agree. This won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and it came to Toronto. But for me, it had a special significance. I went to the pre-TIFF press screening, sat down to watch this about 2 weeks before. And what did I see on Twitter right before the movie started at 10 a.m. was a notice that the lead actress, Charlby Dean, who plays Yaya in the movie, died.
Yeah.
So that was quite a shock. It was right before it started. I showed it to the other movie critics sitting in my thing, and everyone was like, jaws dropped. It was shocking. So I thought, is she really the main character? She really is.
She is.
One of the two main characters, her and Harris Dickinson. They play a young couple, an attractive young couple in a city somewhere. He's a model, fashion model. She's a influencer. She's does social networks, social networking. And the first part, it is a triangle. The first part is her and him in the city, sort of a male and female war. The second act is they get invited aboard a cruise ship for the ultra, ultra rich, who are some of the most detestable people in the world, aboard a ship. And it's the captain of the ship is an American communist, and he becomes friends with the ultimate Russian oligarch. And the two of them are on the ship. And the third chapter, the third scene there's a shipwreck and they're stranded on an island, and it's sort of a cross between Lord of the Flies and Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, a fantastic movie. So go on.
Woody Harrelson plays the captain of the ship.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was at the screening with the director, and he came out and first acknowledged the passing of the actor. It was just a freak virus. It had nothing to do with COVID. It was not anything else. It just was like a really unfortunate situation. And he's since dedicated the film to her, so it's been amended already. But it's a riot. I have to say, seeing the footage from Hurricane Ian down in Florida right now, where you see all these boats, like mega rich boats, you know, lying on highways and stuff. It's quite sad, you know, but it's this film almost lets you have a real laugh at the downfall of these rich people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the theme of a lot of his movies. So poking fun of the bourgeoisie or the ultra-rich or the elite people. He an earlier one was The Square, about an art museum in Stockholm, I think. And his first one was Force Majeure.
Right. And now, it got remade into an American version as well.
So that's interesting. So I was trying to interview him, and for some reason the interview fell through, because I was told he's not showing up at the festival. He's not doing anything because of the death of the lead actress. So I was at a party for Locarno and called over to the back. I was talking with various people. What a shame it was that I won't get to interview him. I was calling the back where there's some European directors, and I was chatting. I was saying, it's so sad. I don't know where he is. Ruben Östlund. I never got to interview him. And the guy I was talking to taps my shoulder and he says, that's Ruben right here. I said, what do you mean? Him, like right in front of you. That's Ruben. So I say, oh, hi. He says, hello. He's Swedish. Oh, he told me he lives in Spain. So I basically had a half an hour interview with him without any recording. So I said, by any chance, did you make Triangle of Sadness in English so there won't be a Hollywood version like the remake of Force Majeure? And he said, yes. Wow. That was the first thing he said. We both laughed over that, but he agreed that was one of the worst remakes ever made. Anyways, a very interesting conversation. Wow. I had with him. And I agree, that was one of the best movies at the festival. So, I've been speaking with Jeff Harris. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Daniel.
This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, Cultural Mining.